Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to another hour of Doug Steffen's Good Day. Jay Kirshner and I have all kinds of great information for you today, but in this hour, we have a special preview of the weekend's Good Day Health Show with Dr. Jack Stockwell, loaded with all kinds of great health information that you can use right now, right here, today.
Good morning and welcome to the Good Day Health Show. I am Dr. Jack Stockwell at jackstockwell.com. Also, more information about the nutritional end of my practice at ForbiddenDoctor.com. And once again, I am not the Forbidden Doctor, nor is my information forbidden, except in the light of Big Pharma. Big Pharma doesn't like what I have to say. Big Pharma wants you to live chemically. I want you to live naturally. And that's what the Forbidden Doctor website is all about. And there's a lot of information there, just tons and tons of reading. We're trying to speed things up. We're trying to simplify. It's an older website, and it's just I think it's got too much information. So we're trying to pare it back a little bit and make it much more user-friendly, as they say. I have a podcast at Forbidden Doctor on the dangers of vegetarian and vegan diets. I maintain that you can be a vegetarian, but it's not easy. You can be healthy as a vegetarian, but it is not easy to do, because there are some nutrition sources that are only animal-sourced, like vitamins A, D, E, and K. And, you know, and there's exceptions with E, because you can get vitamin E from whole grains if they're prepared correctly. But vitamins A and D particularly only come from animal sources. But it's very dangerous being a vegan. And I know most vegetarians, but I have a lot of patients that are vegetarians, and I know that they're not primarily motivated by nutrition. That's not the reason why they're a vegetarian. A few of them, but the majority of them aren't, because they argue just strenuously for the health benefits of the vegetarian diet, and they see good health as a reward for the purity and the virtue of their diet choices as a vegetarian. In my experience, a far more potent motivator among the vegetarians that I take place that I take care of, ranging from, you know, some of the idealistic college students, and we have a lot of colleges around here where I am in Salt Lake City, to social and environmental activists, or to those that adhere to the Eastern spiritual traditions like Buddhism and yoga, is the moral or ethical reason for not eating meat. And when you see great authority pictures like the spiritual luminaries as Mahatma Gandhi, or environmental crusaders such as Francis Lappe, the moral cause against eating meat seems at first glance to be overpowering. I mean, as a meat eater, I am, who cares deeply about living in harmony with my environment, and as an honest person trying to eliminate the hypocrisy in the way I live, I take these arguments seriously, the arguments that my vegetarian patients give me. My vegan patients, I just encourage them deeply to read and study the subject much more than just the ethical end of it. But the typical argument kind of goes like this. You know, in order to feed modern society's enormous appetite for meat, animals have to endure unimaginable suffering in conditions of extreme filth and crowding and confinement. I mean, there are we have evidence of chickens being packed 20 to a cage. Hogs are kept in concrete stalls so narrow they can't even turn around. There's a massive hog farm down in west central Utah. I think somewhere up to 20,000 animals. Now, the cruelty of all of this is appalling, and no less so the environmental effects. I mean, meat animals are fed anywhere from 5 to 15 pounds of vegetable protein for each pound of meat that they produce, which, when you look at it just in that sense, is a very unconscionable practice in a world where so many people, I think 20% of the population of this planet, is hungry every day. And whereas you 1/6 of an acre of land can feed a vegetarian for a year, over 3 acres are required to provide the grain that's needed to raise a year's worth of meat for the average meat eater. So, you know, all too often, as the argument goes, those acres consist of clear-cut rainforests. The toll on water resources is equally grim. The meat industry accounts for somewhat half of the U.S. water compensation or consumption, 2,500 gallons per pound of beef, I think, compared to 25 gallons per pound of wheat. And then the polluting fossil fuels and the other types of inputs that go into meat production. As for the output, you know, 1.5 million tons of livestock manure pollutes our drinking water. So we don't want to forget the residues of antibiotics and synthetic hormones that keep showing up in our municipal water supplies. And even without considering the question of taking life, and I'll get to that in a minute, I think the above facts make it clear that it's immoral to aid and abet this system by eating meat. Now, it's the system that I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not going to contest any of those statistics. I'm not going to argue them, except to say they only describe the meat industry as it exists today. They constitute a very compelling argument against the meat industry, not meat eating. And that's the big difference here. Now, if you're just tuning in, I'm Dr. Jack Stockwell at ForbiddenDoctor.com, a longtime contributor to the Good Day Health Show. Doug Steffen's a good friend of mine, and I see him a couple of times a year in my clinic. And I'm just very humbled and grateful to be a regular on his show. And I am always trying to answer the questions of my patients as I have a practice in Salt Lake City. And this question comes up quite often. Now, there are other ways of raising animals for food rather than the brutality of the commercial system. And there's ways that make livestock an environmental asset rather than a liability, in which animals don't have to lead lives of suffering. You know, the traditional mixed farm that I had experiences with my grandparents in a farm in Pennsylvania and also in West Virginia, where I part of my growing up, where you have a variety of crops and pasture land and orchards. And here, manure is not a pollutant. It's a waste product. It's a valuable resource contributing to soil fertility. And instead of taking grain away from the starving millions, these pastured animals actually generate the food calories that they're carrying around from land that's unsuited to tillage, especially the hilly, rocky stuff. But they sit there, they spend all day grazing on this land that you can't grow stuff on except for the grass and the pastured grass. And then when animals were used to do work like pulling plows and eating bugs and turning compost, they reduce the fossil fuel consumption and the temptation to use pesticides. And the animals living outdoors don't require a huge input of water for sanitation, especially the streams running through the farmland. So in a farm that's not just a production facility, it's an ecology. Livestock plays a very beneficial role. And the cycle and the connection among the crops and the trees and the insects and the manure and the birds and the soil and the water and the people living there create this intricate web of organic, I think, in its real original sense, this a thing of beauty that's not easily lumped in the same category as a 5,000 animal concrete hog factory. But any natural environment is home to animals and plants, and it seems reasonable that an agriculture that tries to be as close as possible to nature would bring out both of these as best they could. You know, on a purely horticultural farm, wild animals can be a big problem, and the artificial measures that are required to keep them out, the nice rows of lettuce and carrots, you know, are an irresistible buffet for rabbits and woodchucks and deer, which can decimate an entire field of these crops overnight. And the vegetable farmers have to rely on electric fences and traps and sprays, you know, more than most people realize, and guns and traps to protect their crops. And if the farmer refrains from killing, you know, raising vegetables at a profitable yield requires keeping the land in a highly artificial state, cordoned off from nature. So you can argue, you know, but the idyllic farms of yesteryear are insufficient to meet the huge demand for our meat-addicted society. And even if you eat only organically raised meat, you're not being moral unless your consumption level is consistent with all the Earth's 6 billion people that share the diet. So that argument rests, I believe, on the unwarranted assumption that our meat industry seeks to maximize production. Actually, it seeks to maximize profit, which means maximizing not production, but productivity, you know, in the sense of units per dollar. And in dollar terms, it's more efficient to have 1,000 cows in a high-density feedlot eating corn that they should not be eating on a chemically dependent 5,000-acre farm than it is to have 50 cows grazing on each of 20 different 250-acre family farms. And it's more efficient in dollar terms and probably more efficient in terms of human labor, too, because fewer farmers are needed. And in a society that today just kind of belittles farming, I think that's a good thing. But in terms of beef per acre, as they talk about it, you know, in terms of water and fossil fuel and the other kinds of natural capital involved, it certainly is not more efficient. So in an ideal world, meat would be just as plentiful as, but it would be much more expensive. So that is as it should be. I think traditional societies understood that meat's a special food. They revered it as one of nature's highest gifts. And to the extent that our society translates our high value into high price, meat should be expensive. And the prevailing prices for meat are extraordinarily low relative to consumer spending, both by historical standards and when you compare meat prices here with other countries. And ridiculously cheap food just impoverishes farmers. It demeans food itself. It makes it less efficient. So I want to get into the moral imperative here. We're going to go to a break, and when we get back, those were the environmental issues. I want to get into the moral issues of this for a few minutes because I have a lot of patients who struggle with this. You're listening to the Good Day Health Show, and I am Jack Stockwell, Dr. Jack Stockwell at jackstockwell.com. We will be right back.
Douglas is a real Prevagen user and paid testimonialist.
My name is Douglas. I'm 79 and I live in Chicago. I'm a writer, director. I used to be a marathon runner. Now I'm a walker. In the kind of work that I do, you are surrounded by people who are all younger than you. Memory became a factor. As everyone gets older, where did I put my keys? But I had to get help to stay competitive. I happened across Prevagen, and I started taking it. I saw myself having an improved memory, which at the same time, I felt better about myself. I could not be doing what I'm doing today had it not been for Prevagen.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Prevagen is available in stores everywhere. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Doug Steffen here, calling all travelers. How many of you have ever been to Las Vegas? How many of you would love to go to Las Vegas? How about going to Las Vegas two nights free? I have your attention, so right now be one of the first 10 callers right this minute to call 800-419-3684. Two free nights in Las Vegas. That's it. First 10 callers, get on board. Two free nights in Las Vegas. It's the easiest thing ever, right? First 10 callers to call 800-419-DOUG. And two nights in fabulous Las Vegas is yours. No questions. You don't need to be caller 29. You can be in the first group of 10 or a dozen, and you're on board. 800-419-DOUG. 800-419-3684. We've traveled the world to find a good deal. You've got it now with 541 Travels and the Doug Steffen Good Day Program. 800-419-DOUG.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is the Good Day Health Show with Doug Steffen and myself, Dr. Jack Stockwell. So what I've talked about so far, the cruel conditions and the environmental sustainability and the important moral motivations, I think, for vegetarianism. But vegetarianism existed before the days of factory farming, and it was inspired by the simple, primal conviction that killing is wrong. And it's just plain wrong to take another animal's life unnecessarily. It's bloody, it's brutal, and barbaric. That's the moral dilemma there. And of course, plants are alive. And most vegetarian diets involve the killing of plants. Which, the exception would be the fruitarian diet that eat only fruit that they pick from a living bush or tree. But most people don't accept that killing an animal is the same as killing a plant. And few would argue that animals are not a more highly organized form of life with, greater consciousness or sentience and greater capacity for suffering. I mean, compassion extends more readily to animals that cry out in fear and pain, though personally, when I have to weed the garden, I'm not happy about pulling out and killing those weeds, although I know it's necessary. I mean, plants are alive, too. There's an argument for that. But I think it's not going to satisfy the moral impulse behind vegetarianism. But it should also be noted that mechanized vegetable farming involves massive killing of soil organisms and insects and rodents and birds. And this does not address the central motive for vegetarianism, because this killing is incidental and somewhat in principle might be able to be minimized. I mean, the soil itself, the earth itself, may, as far as we know, be a sentient being. And so with an agricultural system, even if it's plant-based, it kills the soil, it kills rivers, it kills the land. And is that any morally reprehensible as a meat-oriented society? But it doesn't really get to the essential issue, does it? Isn't it wrong to kill a sentient being unnecessarily? So you kind of question whether this killing is truly unnecessary, because, the nutritional establishment looks favorably on vegetarianism, and a significant minority of researchers, vigorously dispute the health claims of vegetarianism. But in this discussion here, that's beyond the scope of what I'm trying to talk about. But after many years of self-dedicated, self-experimentation, I'm convinced that meat is very necessary for me to enjoy health and strength and energy. Now, does my need for good health myself outweigh another sentient being's right to life? And so that question comes back around to the central issue of killing. And I think it's time to drop all the unstated assumptions and meet this issue head on. Which, let me start with a very naive, provocative question. What exactly is wrong about killing? And for that matter, what is so bad about dying? I mean, it's impossible to address all the moral implications of eating meat without thinking about the significance of life and death. I mean, otherwise one is in danger of great hypocrisy, you know, because you're separated from the fact that the act of death behind each piece of meat that we eat. And the physical and the social distance from slaughterhouse to dinner table insulates us. So we don't feel the fear. We don't feel the pain as animals are led to the slaughter. And it turns a dead animal into just a piece of meat or a steak or a hamburger. And that distance is a luxury our ancestors didn't have in their hunting and their farming societies. Killing was upfront, it was personal, and it was very respectful taking the life of a living, breathing animal. Now we're going to go to break. I'm going to get back about more of this here. The idea of being insulated from death extends far beyond the food industry, mind you. I'm Dr. Jack Stockwell. You are listening to the Good Day Health Show with Doug Steffen. I will be right back after the break.
Sherry is a real Prevagen user and paid testimonialist.
Hi, my name is Sherry. I'm 76 and I live on the Oregon coast. My husband, Sam, we've been married 53 years. We have a medical device company, have two daughters, and then two granddaughters. I noticed that thoughts and memories were not there like they were when I was much younger. A friend gave me a bottle of Prevagen and said it had helped her, so I thought, well, why not try it? Since taking Prevagen, my memory has gotten better, my thought processes have gotten better, and it's like the puzzle pieces have all been put together. I wish I would have known about Prevagen a few years before. It's worth a try.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Prevagen is available in stores everywhere. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who were cognitively normal or mildly impaired, this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
First things first, you should offer, not ask, to renegotiate. I'm Holland Cook with Inflation Hacks. For instant savings, make a list. Video and music streaming services, insurance premiums, your cable bill, your cell phone plan, that gym membership you stopped using by February, all those recurring costs that hit your credit card like clockwork every month. And about that card, tell them you want a lower rate. Many who do get one. And if you don't, because credit cards are stealing each other's customers, sign up for a new one with an introductory 0% balance transfer offer so you at least stop the clock on what you already owe. How are you coping? Post your inflation hacks at andyoucanquoteme.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The Biden administration supports Israel's right to self-defense against Hamas, but is under increasing pressure to advocate for a ceasefire.
1,400 people slaughtered in their homes at a music festival. And when Hamas decided to conduct operations, it was with the intent of killing people.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel is willing to consider brief pauses in the ongoing conflict with Hamas. The Israel-Hamas war has resulted in over 11,000 casualties on both sides of the conflict. Texas Senator Ted Cruz calling out election interference in support of presidential candidate Donald Trump.
The unfairness of this proceeding is exactly right. Letitia James is a hardcore partisan. She campaigned saying, I'm going to get Donald Trump. I'm going to go after Donald Trump. This judge, by all appearances, hates Donald Trump.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Past the hour, you're listening to Doug Steffens' Good Day program. Let's get back to our special preview of this weekend's Good Day Health Show with Dr. Jack Stockwell. All kinds of great health information that you can use right now, today.
Welcome back once again. I'm Dr. Jack Stockwell. You're listening to the Good Day Health Show, and I'm talking about the moral implications involved with killing a sentient being and at the same time making food available to you that your body requires. And I've been talking about insulating ourselves. You know, we in our Western culture, you know, we're accumulating our worldly treasures, our wealth, our status, our beauty, our expertise, our reputation, our things, and we kind of ignore the truth that those things don't exist very long. They don't last very long because, you know, the old saying, you can't take it with you. Yet the American system is fixed on worldly acquisition, and it depends on the pretense that we can take things with us and that these things have a lasting value. And it's usually only a really close brush with death, that people finally start to wake up to what's really important. And the reality of death, I think, reveals in us the errant folly and the goals and the values of our modern conventional life, both collectively and individually. So it's no wonder in our society, the Western society compared to the rest of the world, just unprecedented in its wealth, has developed a fear of death equally unprecedented in history. You know, on a personal and even on an institutional life, keeping someone alive who's in the worst of kinds of conditions, where we put life more important than the value of that life, or the prolonging of agony just because we can't face the death of something. So that, you know, the whole American program is to insulate ourselves as much as we can from death, to make us secure, you know, from the conscious, subconscious feeling it could ever happen to us. So I think when we dig deeper into this fear, you know, our culture's dualistic separation of body and soul and matter and spirit and man of nature, you know, going back to Newton, to Descartes, that broke everything down into separate beings and separated us from the community and the existence of all the elemental parts of the earth and the soil and the plants and the animals and the bugs and the trees and mankind and families all come together as a community that depends upon one another. Because in other cultures, they're much more ancient and wiser than the Western society. They don't see it like this. They believe in a sacred world. They believe in a world of matter that's infused with the spirit. I think the term is animism. The belief that all things possess a soul. And even this, you know, definition betrays, I think, Western society, that there could be a soul behind things. I mean, if all things are soul, then life in the flesh of a material world will be sacred. So when death itself is, you know, when a life is wrongly lived, you know, it's the ultimate calamity to see why an ethical person would choose vegetarianism. I mean, to deprive a creature of life is the ultimate crime, especially in the context of a society that values safety over fun and security over creativity. Now, fortunately, there's a time to live. Let me put it this way. In an animistic, holistic world, the moral question one might ask about food was something killed for me to eat this? Rather than, is this food taken in rightness and harmony? In harmony, the cow is a soul, so's the land, so's the ecosystem, so's the planet. Did the cow live the life a cow ought to live? Is the way it was raised beautiful or ugly, according to the current commercial stuff? You know, I ask whether eating this food contributes to that tiny shred of divine tapestry. And what do I mean by that? There's a time to live and there's a time to die. That's the way of nature. If you think about it, prolonged suffering is rare in nature. It's our meat industry that promotes prolonged suffering of animals and people and the earth. And that's not the only way. I mean, when a cow lives the life a cow ought to live, when its life and death are consistent with a beautiful world, then for me, there's no ethical dilemma at the end of its life to kill that animal for food. Now, of course, there's pain and fear when the animal's taken to the slaughter, like when the robin pulls a worm up out of the ground, or when wolves bring down a caribou, or just when you uproot weeds from the garden. There's much to be sad about in life, but underneath the sadness is a joy that is dependent not on avoiding pain, but living rightly and living well. I mean, it would indeed be hypocritical for me to apply this to a cow and not to myself. To live with integrity as a killer of animals and plants, it's necessary for me to live my own life rightly and well, even especially when such decisions seem to sometimes jeopardize my comfort or jeopardize my security or even my self-interest. And to live rightly is simply to risk facing death every day, not just for animals, but for me. I mean, there's a time to live and there's a time to die. And what is good enough for any living creature that I eat is good enough for me. And eating meat doesn't have to be an act of arrogant speciesism, consistent with a humble submission to the changing tides of life and death. Now, if this sounds crazy, or if this sounds radical or unattainable, you know, all these calculations that I'm giving in my interest, I mean, what will the benefit, I mean, what can I grow, what can I realize in the fulfillment of my life out of this? And the ultimate ideal for me is to live rightly, decision by decision. My heart sings even when my rational mind disagrees and my ego gets in the way. Because my wisdom, like everybody else, is limited. And despite our machinations, we're ultimately unsuccessful at avoiding pain. we're unsuccessful at avoiding loss, and we're certainly unsuccessful at avoiding death. And for animals and plants and humans alike, there is more to life than not dying. My son, when he turned 14, 13 or 14, out here in the wilds of Marlboro Man country in Utah, wanted to go hunting because his buddies, he wasn't raised hunting. I mean, I haven't hunted, my goodness, I probably haven't hunted in 30, 35 years. But I hunted quite a bit in my 20s and 30s with my friends. And we'd go out for the, you know, the annual ceremony up into the hills. And I shot a few deer, never anything bigger, although we have some pretty big elk out here, and moose, and bison. And it always saddened me every time I would kill one of these animals. But I, you know, in the back of my head was this, well, here's food for the family. And I, you know, made a reasonable living. I could go to the store and buy the commercial stuff, but something inside of me said there was something more moral about doing it myself. So my son wanted to go. And I said, okay, I'll take you. We haven't gone. I haven't gone in 30 years, but I'll take you out with me. And I said, here's the thing. You're going to go take a hunter class, a hunter safety class. And then we find an animal, I'll let you shoot it. And he kind of got excited about that, as a 14-year-old boy might. And I said, and then I'll show you how to gut it out. And then that caught his attention. And I said, you know, we're going to cut it from here, just below the neck, all the way down the front so we can take the organs out, because we don't want them to go rancid and spoil. And we have to cut off the scent glands, and we have to do a few other things to preserve the meat. And then we're going to hang it up and bleed it out. And I did this in such a way that I got him to feel the taste of death himself. And then we'll bring it home, and we'll put it in a cooler and age it for a few days. And then we'll cut it up and butcher it ourselves and wrap it up and put it in a freezer. And by this point, the look on his face, if I could have just photographed the look on his face. And he said, and this is no lie, this is no exaggeration. He said, can't we just go shoot a few chickens? They just run around in circles. That's exactly what he said. He decided he didn't want to do it. And I said, son, you were raised as a meat eater, just like your mother and myself. But we're distant from it. And I want you to understand the sacredness of life by taking it yourself. And to understand that there is a much better way to have a meat industry in Western society than these horrible, horrible conditions under which most commercial animals are raised for slaughter. Full of antibiotics. Eating foods full of all the chemicals and certain kinds of preservatives and all the stuff to kill bugs and parasites, and leading these animals to have a very, very unhealthy life, and then fed food that Mother Nature had never intended these animals to eat, just to fatten them up. And I said, I would defend the end of that industry as much as I would defend my right to eat meat. So, in the meantime, as he has grown older, and he's in his 20s now, been on a few farms in the West, and seen how grass-pastured animals are raised, and the family of the animals. And pigs are very social. Pigs are very family-oriented when left in clean conditions. And surprisingly intelligent animals. And at the same time, being able to get his hands into the dirt and to appreciate the power of life, and that when he eats something, was killing involved? And was the killing done in some degree of rightness and harmony? And so that was the impression I wanted to leave on him. Now, I've had much more time to talk about this in the Good Day Health Show than I do face-to-face with patients during the day. But I want to refer them back to that, back to this, because at gooddayhealthshow.com/podcast, there are hundreds of these podcasts, not just by Dr. Ken, but myself as well, on various subjects that are available for your perusal. Now at ForbiddenDoctor.com, under podcasts, I have about an hour, hour and a half long presentation on the dangers of vegetarian and vegan diets. And I can't argue the moral dilemma a young teenage girl who decides she's not going to eat meat anymore because she can't contribute to the killing of an animal and goes straight vegan. I do not have one exception to what I'm about to tell you. Within 2 to 3 months, there's a massive personality change because they're vitamin A and D deficient. There are very important enzymes involved in meat that you're not going to get from the vegetable kingdom. And before too long, the parents are not happy at all with the choice their children have made, going vegan. As I said earlier, vegetarianism is that you can be a vegetarian, but it's difficult, and you have to constantly watch your diet to stay healthy. Well, I hope this helps. It might be a bit controversial. You can reach me at jackstockwell@gmail.com if you want more comments or questions regarding this. In a few minutes, after the next break, I'm going to be joining Doug, and we're going to be finishing out the show together with one another. It's always a treat to talk to him. People always say, "You're walking. Don't walk all over Dr. Jack. Don't walk on Dr. Jack." And I love it when he does that because I love the way Doug's mind works. Just this machine gun approach to what's important. So stick around for Doug and myself to finish out this show, and I really appreciate your listenership to the Good Day Health Show. So stick around as we go into the next segment where Doug and I will polish off the rest of the show.
Happy to have back on the fold Elizabeth Miller, who's here from Calitrin. How is it possible that 86% of the people who take Calitrin find success?
Well, I think that, you know, the reason Calitrin has such a huge success rate is because it's working with your body. It's not a quick fix fad product. It's not a drug. It's not a stimulant. It doesn't have anything negative in it at all. It works with your body to rebuild lean muscle tissue. So it revs up your metabolism naturally. So we're just using your body's tools and helping your body's functions to burn off those fats and sugars more efficiently.
So we're in the beginning of the new year. What do we have for special deals?
Right now, we've got discounts on all kinds of packages on here. If you go to toploss.com, you're going to see that there. And also, the more you buy, the more you save. It's at toploss.com. And then you can also use the promo code Doug, D-O-U-G, for free shipping on all orders of Calitrin on there.
Toploss.com. Thanks to Elizabeth Miller.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. That's 800-511-6046.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help.
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
The Doug Steffen Good Day program with Dr. Jack Stockwell. The Good Day Health program is something in service of this program that airs with Jack every weekend. Jack is a NUCA chiropractor. He's also a GAPS practitioner, and he has lots to say about a lot of important things. He has a wealth of knowledge that I have not found equal in probably, I'm going to say, any other doctor, anybody else who focuses on health. You have an encyclopedic knowledge, and that's why I like to kind of get into the nitty-gritty with you. There's a sort of natural approach to things. I noticed that there's a new herbal extract that's being touted to improve mild dementia. Ginseng, ginkgo, and something called Crocus sativus. I got ginseng and ginkgo. I use it myself. I never heard of Crocus sativus. What's that? Where is it found? Was that something known by
the
name?
That, we have that in our long life energy enzymes.
So you can get those by going, by the way, to ForbiddenDoctor.com. They're called the Lee enzymes, long life energy enzymes. I take them every day. I give them to Daisy, my dog. So is there a way? This is apparently something that needs to be put together, all of these things, in order to have the cognitive effect that is desired. I mean, who the heck wants to get dementia, right?
Well, we've talked on your show many times about bacopa, about ginkgo, and yep. The ability that these herbs have to as a tonic for the brain to kind of wake up the neurotransmitter activity inside the brain.
Mm-hmm.
There are several things that contribute to not just Alzheimer's, but dementia in general, the most the most common one that goes from coast to coast in this country is simply malnutrition, not eating the foods, especially those that are containing fish oils, which just happen to come in fish. And we know that the fats, we know that the fats that are present in fish oil, the DHA and the EPA, can only come into our diet. Our body will not make those. Most of the fats that the body needs, in the sense of the healthy fats, the body will make. The liver will make them. But there's some fats called essential fatty acids. Essential because it must be in the diet. Our body does not make them. And because our brain, you know, the dry weight of the brain is more than 50% fat.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly the DHA and the EPA that are very, very rich in fish oils. So we either supplement with fish oils, which I, you know, I've got plenty of that at ForbiddenDoctor.com, or you start eating a lot more fish. And I'm not talking about frozen breaded fish sticks that you warm up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about deep ocean fish. Things like
cod.
Cod, especially cod, East or West Coast cods, Arctic cod, also salmon. Deep ocean tuna, these are very rich in the kinds of fats that the brain requires.
What Jack is saying is not farmed, but actually out in the wild where they grow naturally.
Yes.
There are a lot of places around the world, especially in Asia, that farm these fish. And the what they eat, although we talk about lobster all the time, they eat the stuff on the bottom. Some of the things that these fish on the farms eat has not... The farms that are here probably better, but Asian farms not so much. But the point is that you need oils, and these oils come from fish that have the proper exposure to nature in their natural habitat. Right? Am I... How much
right. And there's some... No, you're doing excellent. And there's some other sources, such as butter that comes from grass-pastured cattle. Dairy cows. Not the commercial ones. The commercial ones, because they're fed foods that they shouldn't be fed, and they're in terribly unhealthy conditions. They don't.
Well, this is the difference between the free range of you. My cows are pastured. That's the
absolutely
example.
Absolutely.
Versus being in a feedlot where they get a lot of stuff that's mixed together in a big truck that has, you know, in some cases the stuff that's put in there is all good, but sometimes some of the stuff isn't all good. And so it's the stuff that's put, especially with beef cattle, they put stuff in the feed that will enhance them. They call it finishing the cow. Those of you who are farmers know what I'm talking about. They finish them with, not that tofu is bad for them, but there are some things that are put into some of the feed that are not natural, but they add, it's almost like hormonal, so the cattle can grow faster and bigger. And
with grow, and they have no business eating corn or silage.
Yeah. Well, my cows like it because I grow it the natural
because
way.
Because it's sweet.
Well, yeah, right. Listen, we like sweet things. I like you, Jack, and you're sweet. Jack Stockwell, Dr. Jack.
This program was produced at Bob K. Sound and Recording. Please visit BobKSound.com.
In a world where financial landscapes can change rapidly, safeguarding your savings and retirement accounts is paramount. Direct Bullion USA is more than just the number one rated gold bullion dealer in America. We're your trusted partner in navigating the uncertainties of hyperinflation and political upheaval around the world. Direct Bullion USA can provide you with the knowledge and resources to fortify your financial stability and protect what matters most. Call us now at 888-787-GOLD. Precious metals like gold and silver have been a safe haven investment for hundreds of years. Get started when you call Direct Bullion USA at 888-787-4653 and get your free gold investing starter kit today. All it takes is one call to 888-787-GOLD. Take control of your retirement and protect your future with Direct Bullion USA. Call 888-787-4653. That's 888-787-GOLD.